Today's daf is daf Kuf Chaf Tes. So we were at the very bottom of Kuf Chaf Ches on the days. Let's just make sure. Can you hear us? Can you hear us? Yes. Okay, good. Okay, so we are on Kuf Chaf Ches on the days. Okay, I'll put this way. Okay, we are on Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Beis, towards the bottom, and we're going to deal now with the topic of a woman who's giving birth and, you know, violating Shabbos in order to take care of her and make sure it doesn't become a danger to life. So the Mishnah said that when a woman is giving birth, a yoledes, a chaya, a woman who's giving birth, the Mishnah said that we do whatever she needs, even light a candle for her. So, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, chaya kol zman shehakever pasuach. A woman giving birth, as long as the womb is open, so in other words, she's in labor, she's actually giving birth, bein amar tzrichani, whether she says, I need this particular activity to save my life, bein lo amar tzrichani, even if she didn't ask for something, we know that the life is in danger and we should be desecrating Shabbos for her. However, nistam akever, once the womb is sealed, in other words, once the labor is over, then bein amra tzrichani, whether she says I need a particular malacha, bein lo amra tzrichani, or certainly if she doesn't say she needs a particular thing, ein mechalin aleha sashabbos. This is a very strict view. This view is that really a woman giving birth is only in danger during the birthing. The moment the birthing is over, then her life is not in danger and you can't desecrate Shabbos. However, Rav Ashi masnihachi. This was only Rav Ashi's version of what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Marzucha masnihachi. Marzucha had a different version which was much more lenient. According to Marzucha's version, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Chaya, a woman giving birth, calls man shakever pasuach, as long as the womb is open. In other words, she's in labor, she's in delivery. Bein amra tzrichani, bein amra ein tzrichani, mechalin aleha sashabbos. Whether she says, I need this particular malacha, or even more than that, she said, I don't need this malacha, but her friends are saying she needs this malacha, you would desecrate Shabbos. Nistam akever, once the labor and delivery is over, amra tzrichani, if she says, I need this particular thing, mechalin aleha sashabbos, we would desecrate Shabbos. Lo amra tzrichani, but if she doesn't say she needs it, then ain mechalin aleha sashabbos, then we don't desecrate Shabbos. Amar Ravina lemereimar. Ravina said to Mereimar, Marzucha masni lekula. Marzucha is much more lenient. He's saying that a woman, even after labor and delivery, if she says she needs a malacha, you do it. Rav Ashi masni lechumra. Rav Ashi's version of Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, is much stricter, that a woman after labor and delivery, even if she says she needs something, you're not going to do it. Hilchos HaKiman, who's halacha like? And here we have a very important principle. Amar Lehi told him, halacha k'marzutra. Halacha is like marzutra. Because safek nefashos lahakel. When we have a question, should we be strict on Shabbos? Or should we be strict to save a life and more lenient on Shabbos? The answer is, we have to be strict on saving a life. So even if we're not even sure if there's a danger to her life, it's just a suffix, pikuach nefesh. There's a possibility of it being a danger to a life. That's already reason to violate Shabbos. Again, very, very relevant to what we're all living through over the last few months, when we have a new illness and a new virus and so many questions about it. So this is a major halachic principle. When we're not sure, it may be a danger to life, that also is reason to be makel, to be lenient on Hilchos Shabbos. and to be desecrating Shabbos in order to try to save lives. I saw an interesting tshuva that Rav Asher Weiss was asked about a doctor at Mount Sinai who's working on creating a vaccine for the coronavirus. So they're working 24/7. So he wanted to know if he could keep working on Shabbos. So Rav Asher Weiss quoted this Gemara, the possibility of saving a life overrules Shabbos. And especially when you deal with spreading disease, because it's not just saving one life, it's saving many, many lives, or the stakes get higher. But ultimately, he said that they shouldn't desecrate Shabbos, because he said the whole world is working on the vaccine. And all those people working on the vaccine, they're not working every single minute. They take off. Sometimes they'll have vacation. He said, you know what? You have other people working on it. You don't have to be there on Shabbos. Come after Shabbos. Still keep Shabbos. But this is the key principle. Safek nefashos lahakel. If there's a possibility of saving a life, we are lenient on Shabbos.
Does that hold with everything except for avodah zarah, except for the things that are delineated first?
So Simon asks, is this a rule only about Shabbos or about all things? It's true about all things. All matters of halacha, kashrus, all the issues except for the three that we have to be willing, right, as Ellie points out, the three that are yeharek val yav or that not. But otherwise, every other mitzvah of the Torah, if there's suffik nefashos, there's a possibility of saving a life, you have to be lenient. You have to overrule those mitzvahs. All right, now let's get into the details of childbirth. At what point do we say that labor has begun, that the womb has opened? So three opinions. Amar Abaye, Mishatesha Vala Mashber. Abaye says, once she sits down on the birthing chair, so at the very beginning, a little bit later, once the blood is dribbling down her feet. Amila, some say, a little bit after that even probably, when she's so weak and she can't walk on her own, and Mishasha Chavrosea Nosos also Ba'akapel. She needs her friend to help support her on her two elbows, her two shoulders. All right, so that's the beginning of childbirth. Admasai Psichas HaKever. How long do we say it is childbirth? Amar Abaye. So Abaye said Shloshi Yom for 3 days. So when she gives birth, in the next 2 days, you do Malacha for on Shabbos. Of Amar Shmid Rav Yehuda Shiva. 7 days is childbirth. So for 7 days you do Malacha. Amila, some say that the version of Rav in the name of Yehuda is Shloshim, that for 30 days you would be doing Malacha for her on Shabbos. Amri Nardoi, they said in the rabbis of Nardoi taught, Chaya, woman giving birth, there's Shlosha, there's 3 days, there's Shiva, there's 7 days, there's Shloshim, there's 30 days. Shlosha, the first 3 days, Bein Amra Tzrichani, whether she says, I need this Malacha, or Bein Amra Lo Tzrichani, or even if we say, do you want you? Would it help you for us to turn on the heat? And she said, I don't need the heat. Machalan alas Shabbos. We'll desecrate Shabbos for her sake, and we would do the malacha. Shiva, up to 7 days. Amra Tzrichani, if she says she needs something. Machalan alas Shabbos. We would desecrate Shabbos for her. However, Amra Lo Tzrichani, if she says she doesn't need it, a machalan alas Shabbos, we wouldn't desecrate on her behalf Shabbos. Shloshim, up to 30 days, afilu amar tzrichani, at that point, from 7 to 30 days, even if she says she needs something, ein mechalan alas haShabbos, you wouldn't desecrate for her behalf Shabbos. Aval osen al yidei armai, but we would tell a Gentile to do it for her. Kedar Rav Ula b'rei Rav Eloi, as Rav Ula taught the son of Rav Eloi, da'amar, he said, kol tzarchei chola nasin al yidei armai b'Shabbos. All the needs of a sick person are done through a Gentile on Shabbos. And this is also like the lesson of Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna, davar she'en bo sakana. When we're dealing with someone who's sick, but his life or her life is not in danger, omer lenachri va'osa. You tell a Gentile and he does it. So even though we've seen before that there is a rabbinic prohibition of amir lenachri, you're not allowed to tell a Gentile to do malacha. You are allowed to tell a Gentile to do malacha for a chole, for someone who's sick, she'en bo sakana, who doesn't have any danger to him. Because a woman who gives birth from day 7 to day 30, she's not in danger. She says, I need something, we wouldn't do it for her. We don't believe that she's in danger. But even though she's not in danger, she's still recovering from a major procedure. She's not herself. She's not back to the way she was. So when someone's not himself, because they're off medically, you can tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you. And the non-Jew is allowed to do it. They're even poskim will go further. They say that the same way you could tell a non-Jew to do malacha, which is a rabbinic prohibition, they say all rabbinic prohibitions can be violated for the sake of a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, for the sake of someone who's sick, who there's no danger to. If it's only a rabbinic prohibition, you could do it on Shabbos.
Would it be better, like, if someone would be trying to save a life and he would have to drive to the hospital on Shabbos? Would it be better to tell a non-Jew to do driving and do less malacha after, or...
Very nice. So Ellie asks a question. He says, let's say you have to save a life, and you have to, let's say, go to the hospital. Is it better for you to drive yourself to the hospital, or a Jew to drive you to the hospital, or better to ask a non-Jew to drive you to the hospital? So this is actually a machlokas. Most poskim feel as you're suggesting, better to have the non-Jew do it. Because the language of the Shulchan Aruch in regards to saving a life is, what we can't have a non-Jew do for us, that's what we do. However, the briskers, this is a very ironic thing. Normally the briskers, the followers of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, they're very strict. They eat large amounts of matzah, and they're nervous, and they, you know, are careful with multiple views. But on this issue, they go against the Shulchan Aruch, and they rule like the Rambam, who says that the violation of Shabbos should be done by the biggest Torah sages. The greatest Torah sages should be the one violating Shabbos, and they shouldn't ask a non-Jew, because that delays it a little bit. Better that the Jew do it and not the non-Jew do it. And there's a famous story that when my father's teacher of Soloveitchik was a child, so he got sick as a baby, and it was Shabbos, and his grandfather was very concerned for the welfare of the grandchild. He said, go get the doctor. So they ran and they brought over the doctor. It was a religious Jew. And the doctor started to examine the baby in the crib. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he knew all the shas inside out. He said, would it help if I moved the candle closer so that you'd have a better view? The doctor said, no. It sounds like, you know, I don't need it. So I could do it without the candle. You don't have to violate mukta. So Rav Chaim turned to one of the people of the house, a big Torah sage. And he said, move the candle. So he was nervous. The doctor said, he doesn't need it, and I'm going to go do it. So Reb Chaim, he could be very harsh. He said, you're an ignorant fool who's a kofer, who denies the belief in God. And he grabbed the candle and he moved it himself. So why was Reb Chaim so harsh? Because the Rambam says that when it comes to desecrating Shabbos for someone who's sick, don't wait for the non-Jew. Do it yourself. And Shabbos is hutra. Shabbos is permitted, totally permitted, in the face of someone who is sick. So he said, you're a fool. You don't know the Rambam. But even worse, you're a heretic, because the Rambam then goes on to give an explanation. The Rambam says there's certain people who think, oh, well, if it's Shabbos, I can't save a life. The Rambam says those people are distorting what Judaism is. They're turning Judaism into a set of rules that's very cruel and hard for people to live with. And the opposite is true. The Judaism is a gift, and Hashem is helping us, and Hashem loves us. And there's nothing in Judaism that goes against living a life and being able to have a life. So the whole attitude of, I don't know if I can do it because maybe it's muktzah, is a distorted understanding of Judaism. It makes you a heretic too. So when Rav Soloveitchik's father got his position to be the Rav of Chaslavich, so his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, told him two things at the train station. He said, number one, your main job as a rabbi is to do chesed, to have a chesed fund and help the poor people. And secondly, Shabbos is not dechuya. It's not that you just push it aside for a danger to life. It's hutra. There's a danger to life. There's no Shabbos. It's just to save lives. But this is the briskers. Most poskim, again, will say, like Ellie, that if a woman is pregnant and she feels like she's having her birthing, you know, she's in labor, she should call a Gentile taxi, have the Gentile taxi take her. If you can have a non-Jew do it, better. But the briskers actually go the other way. They say, no, here you have to be strict on a matter to life, and you should be desecrating Shabbos by the rabbis. Yeah, question.
About a corollary to what Ellie said. Let's say you don't have to. I always look at the lights here in the morning and say, I wonder why the lights are on. It's daylight. So a woman, it's in the middle of the day, but the woman says, you know what, I want to read. Put on the lamp. Where is the delineation in terms of, or your house is full of food, and the woman says, I want you to cook this for me.
Right. So Simon is asking, what about when a woman asks for things that she doesn't need? So then you wouldn't be desecrating Shabbos, but you get into the issue of psychological realities. You know, we talk about refuah tzanefesh and refuah tzaguf. And when people are in a fragile state, health and otherwise, and their anxieties, those are also very real issues. And we have to sometimes... You know, it'll help a woman, you know, we had with our babies. So there was a particular doctor that we were using. And we didn't want to use another doctor in the practice. So this doctor said the only day I could start the labor and delivery would be on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah. But if you don't want me, then you can do it after Rosh Hashanah. But we wanted this doctor. It would make us all feel more at peace having this doctor. So we violated Yom Tov to have this doctor. Because whatever helps the emotional peace is also part of the healing of a person who's not well. Yeah, question, Jonathan.
The one electricity you said is drabana.
Correct.
So the cooking is...
It's biblical.
It's biblical.
Right.
It's probably a...
There's a difference between that, for sure.
So if someone's sick, it doesn't have to be a life-threatening illness, but just ill, or who just came out of an operation or something.
Correct.
They want a light on, you can turn a light on.
According to some posters, right? According to some. Others would say only ask a non-Jew to do it, but not the Jew.
There's no non-Jew around.
Yeah, some would say you could, yeah.
my rabbi, when I was growing up, my brother just came out of an operation.
Right.
Came to visit him, and it was Shabbos, and he wanted to greet the rabbi. It was dark, so
right.
It would be great if the light was on. The rabbi said, you know, you're sick, you turn the light on.
Very nice.
I was like
5 years
old. I was like, what?
Very nice. So Jonathan actually has a master rab, a story with a rabbi who actually passed him this way, that for a chola shein bo sakana, he should do an issur d'rabbanan. He can do an issur d'rabbanan. Amazing.
The truth is, if you call, let's say, a taxi for a non-Jew, and then it comes, and you open the door, and this and that, you're probably filing more things than just driving 5 minutes.
No, because when you drive, you're doing a biblical malacha. You're burning gasoline. When you call, it's all rabbinic. It's all electronic.
Are you allowed to shut off the car when you get the
non-Jew? Yeah. That's a very important rule that Rav Moshe Feinstein made. Roger asked, can you shut off the car when you get to the hospital? Rav Moshe Feinstein said, if people are not going to be able to go back and forth, Hatzalah members not going to be able to go back and forth, he might hesitate to go in the first place. So therefore, it's all part of the leniency of desecrating Shabbos to save a life. Not only to go to the hospital, but to drive back from the hospital in order to be on guard, you know, on call. All right, we're on Daf Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. L'chai ha-shloshim yom. A woman who gives birth has 30 days. L'may yochas in regards to what? Amri Nardoi, they said in Nardoi, L'tzvila. What that means is that for the first 30 days, she shouldn't go and immerse herself in a mikvah. In those days, those mikvahs were pretty cold. And they were worried, if a woman's going to go in a fragile, emotional, physical state, she might get the chills. And that could be dangerous. That's only true if her husband's not around to warm her through marital relations. But if her husband's around, her husband will warm her through marital relations, and she can go to the mikvah even within 30 days. And this is a fact. The daughter of Rav Chisda was married to Rava. She went to the mikvah within 30 days of childbirth without her husband being around. It's Tania. She actually got bad chills. So they transported her in a stretcher to catch up with Rav all the way to Pumpadisa. I'm Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, talking some more about chills. Rav Yudah said the name of Shmuel. Osa Medura Lachaya B'Shabbos. You're allowed to make a bonfire for a woman who gave birth on Shabbos. Savramina, they thought that meant Lachaya in only if a woman gave birth, but Lachola lo, but other illnesses not. only during the winter when you need the heat. But in the summer, not. But the truth is that that's not the case. I'm Rav Chiya bar Rav and I'm Shmuel. That's not the case. You can always do it, even during the summer. I'm Rav Chiya bar Rav and I'm Shmuel. Hikizdam. In those days, one of the ways that they used to treat illnesses was through bloodletting. They'd go to a bloodletter, make a hole, and they'd release blood. Donating blood was a way to get better. So now we're going to learn a lot of lessons about bloodletting. Hikizdam and itzdanim. Someone who gave out blood, and now he got the chills. Osla Maduri, you can make a bonfire for him on Shabbos, afilu b'tkufas tamuz, even in the hottest day of the year, June 21st, which is the summer solstice, and you have a lot of strong sun. Shmuel, tzolchulei taktaka d'shaga. Shmuel himself, after he had donated blood, he had had a bloodletting, he had the chills, they cut up for him this expensive chair made out of shaga wood. Rav Yehuda tzolchulei p'tora d'yavna. Rav Yehuda, they cut up for him to make a bonfire, a table out of the yavna wood. And the Rabbah tzolchulei sharshifa. Rabbah, after he had donated blood, or he had bloodletting, he had the chills, it was Shabbos, he said, you got to make a fire for me. So they chopped up a bench to make a fire. How can you break up a bench? It's a waste of money. You're being wasteful. Amalei said, no. Baltashas to gufai adifli. I'm more interested in not wasting my body than in not wasting some property. A person should be willing to sell the beams that make up the roof of his house in order to have shoes. It's very embarrassing to walk around and not even have shoes. However, if a person has had a bloodletting, he doesn't have what to eat to restore himself, then he should sell the shoes on his feet and use the money to provide for a meal. My Turkey Suda, what's the type of meal you should eat after you have a loss of blood? Rav Amar Basa, Rav said meat. Shmuel Amar Yayin, Shmuel said red wine. Rav Amar Basa, Rav said meat. Nafsha Chalaf Nafsha. The Torah tells us, Ki Adam Wa Nefesh. You have all the oxygen in the blood, the energy is in the blood. So if you lost blood by bloodletting, you should eat meat, because the meat has a lot of iron and also energy. Shmuel Amar Yayin, Shmuel said red wine, Simcha Chalav Simcha. If you lost that which is red bringing in is going to reinvigorate you. So now we're going to learn a lot of lessons about people who lose blood, bloodletting. Shmuel B'yom David Milsa, Shmuel in the day that he would have a bloodletting, Avalei Tavshilu D'Tachla, they'd make for him a dish of spleen. Because spleens have a lot of blood in them, it's like liver. Reb Yochanan Shati Adinafik Tia Me'uzna. Rav Yochanan would drink red wine until the smell would come out of his ears. Rav Nachman would drink so much red wine at the kafi tachle until his own spleen would be floated by the amount of liquid inside. Rav Yosef would drink so much red wine at the nafik mirivta de kusilta until the wine would be leaking out of the same hole that the blood came out of. And Rav Mahadur Achamra bar Tlasa Tarfi. Rav, after you donate blood, after you'd have a bloodletting, you would look for wine that was at least 3 years old. Wine with three leaves to it. Amr Luhu, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rabbanan. Rav Nachman Yitzchak told the rabbis, "Matusim Nichor, I have a request of you. Biyom Da'akaza, on the day when you have a bloodletting, Imelu B'Taychu, tell your wives, Nachman Ikli L'Gaban, that Rabbi Nachman is coming to visit us and make a big meal, so that you'll have a big meal after you give blood. V'Kuli Arum Arasui. Now, generally, you're not allowed to be a little bit tricky. You know, let's say there's a store. For any potential customer, they give a gift card. Macy's is having a gift card day. They'll give a gift card for a potential customer. It's not really right to travel to every Macy's in the state and collect gift cards from everyone. That's not what they were trying to do. They were trying to get a sale. They weren't trying to for you to collect all the samples. However, you're allowed to do that when you need it after you lost blood. So that's what happens. So generally, you're not allowed to be dishonest. Tricky, I should say. But the following Arama is allowed. My David Milsov, a person has had a loss of blood because he had a bloodletting. Below Efshalay, and he doesn't have the money to buy a meal of meat, and he needs the meat or he needs the wine. So Lishkal Zuza Maka, he should take a coin which is not really usable. He should take a coin which is worn out. It doesn't have the full weight. No one's going to try to accept that. But he should go to 7 different stores. And he keeps flashing this coin. They think he's a customer, so they give him a little taste. Then when he actually says, oh, I'd like a bottle of that, here's the coin, they say, no, we're not taking that. But he can get tastes out of store after store. He goes to 7 different stores at the time she reveals until he gets a taste, which is a full reveal, to restore himself. Be alone. If he can't even do that, so then there are other options. He can eat 7 black dates. And he should smear oil on his forehead. And he should sit out in the sun, and the sun on with the oil, that's going to work. Avlat once meant Shmuel, the Gani B'Shimsha. He was sitting out in the sun, getting the sunlight. Amleis, I don't understand. Chachima the Yudai Bisha. Mihava Tava. He said, you're the wisest of the Jews. The bad stuff is good. I don't understand. You know, the sun creates melanoma, other problems. What are you doing sitting out in the sun? So Amalei said to him, listen, Yomada Kazav, this is a day when I lost blood, and that's why I need to have sunlight. But it's not really true. It wasn't that he had given blood that day, or he had lost blood that day. Eliika Yomada Mali Bashim Shabakula Shasa. There's one day where sunlight is as good as the whole year. It's the best day for the sunlight. When the sun is the strongest, June 21st, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, you have a lot of sunlight, the sun is really strong, that's the day when it's good to be out in the sun. So really it was Yom HaNedavim about Tkuvas Tammuz, it was the day of the strongest sunlight. But Samuel Eagle, he didn't want to tell Avlat that secret, so he just told Avlat, oh, I lost blood, that's why I need to have sunlight. All right, now talking about, again, the importance of health, especially when you lose blood. Rav and Shmuel both said, any person who had a loss of blood because he had bloodletting, and he says, I don't need to eat. You know what? He's not taking his own health seriously. God's going to cause him to lose his job. In heaven, they're going to say, you know, he doesn't eat so much food. They say, he doesn't care about his own life. So why should Hashem? Hashem says he doesn't watch his own life. So I should give him food that he should have life? I should have compassion on him. If a person doesn't take care of himself, Hashem's not going to keep helping you with your own health. So now we're going to talk about, you know, things that could hurt after you lose blood. Rav and Shmuel both said, "Hi, man, David Milsa. A person had a bloodletting. Lo leisa veichad the karach zika. Shouldn't sit in a place where there's a strong wind. Because maybe the bloodletter is going to get a lot of blood out of him. Umukum larviyas. It's just going to leave a quarter of a log of blood in." Asizika, where the strong wind is, it's going to come. It's going to knock him out of him. And then he's going to be in the state of danger. Shmuel, he used to do bloodletting in a place where there was no wind at all. He did it in a building that had a wall of 7 full cinder blocks plus a half cinder block. It was a very, very thick wall to stop the wind. Yom Achad, one day, Avad, he gave blood, or he had a bloodletting. Then he felt weak. So Badak, he checked the wall. He saw that one half cinder block was missing. But even that he could feel. So a little bit of wind got in. He already could feel it once he had given blood. He had lost blood. Rav Shmuel, that returned by Rav Shmuel, both said, I'm a David Milsa, person who has a bloodletting. Little me, he should eat right away. He should eat something. After he eats, he can go out. If he doesn't eat, if he's going to see somebody dead, his face is going to turn green. If he's going to see a murderer, he's going to be so weak after he lost blood, Mayas, he's going to drop dead. If he's going to now start in Kufchav Testament days, if he's going to see a pig after he gave blood, he might get leprosy from the pig. Rabbi Shmuel both used to say, I'm out of a milsa, person who has a bloodletting, he should wait. Then he should get up. Because we've learned, there are 5 things that bring a person closer to death than life. These are the 5. Achal va'amad. If he eats, and right away he gets up. You have to eat and let it digest, then you get up. Shasa, drinking wine, and then amad, getting up right away. No, drink and let it settle, then get up. Yashan va'amad, you're sleeping, then right away you jump up. You shouldn't sleep and right away jump up. You have to let all the energy get back to the limbs, and then get up. Hikazdan va'amad, if a person gave blood, and gets up right away. Shemesh mitasa v'amad, if a person has intercourse and right away gets up. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel used to say, Horus of the Dhamma, called Tlasin Yom. You know, a healthy person can let go of blood every 30 days. However, Reino Prakim, as he gets older, once he's 40 years old, you might do it shorter, do it less often, once every 60 days. Reino Prakim, when you get even older, when you get to the age of 60, Yasubi, you might do it only once every 90 days. Amar Shmuel said further, of course, the Dhamma, in terms of giving blood, in terms of having a release of blood. Remember, in those days, they believed, this was true for many, many generations, that astrology was literally science. The idea that, you know, if the red planet is visible at a certain hour of the night, it's a time of anger and a time of violence and a time of bad for blood, was considered absolute science. Even till the days of the Middle Ages, they believed in astrology as science. You know, Ibn Ezra was a doctor. Some people even still believe in astrology as science. So the Gemara accepted certain elements of astrology. So we're going to see here now, based on the astrological signs, there are certain times that you shouldn't be letting go of too much blood. So that's what Shmuel said. Of course, in the Dhamma, to have a bloodletting, Chad b'Shabbos, you can do it on Sunday, Arba, you can do it on a Wednesday, Uma'ali Shabbos, you can do it on Friday, Avashenim v'chamishi lo, but don't do it on Monday and Thursday. Gemara Mark, because we have a tradition, Mishiyesh lo schus avos, Yakiz dam b'sheni v'chamishi. Only somebody who's a descendant of tzaddikim, who has the merit of great ancestors, he can have a bloodletting on a Monday and a Thursday. Why? Shebezdin shelmalo v'shelmato shavim ke'echad. The court above and the court below are equated. So since the court above sits in judgment on Monday and Thursday, just like the court below is sitting in judgment, when you release blood, you're in a greater danger. So you don't want to be in a state of danger when it's a time of divine judgment. Now, Betlasa B'Shabsa, on Tuesday, my time alone, why shouldn't you do a bloodletting, or nowadays it would be giving blood on a Tuesday? Because Mars is appearing at the beginning of one of the even hours. You have the second hour, the fourth hour, the sixth hour, the eighth hour, the tenth hour, the twelfth hour. These are all even hours. And at the beginning of the eighth hour on Tuesday, you see the first thing you'll see in the sky in the horizon rising is Mars. So that means that Mars is strong. And if Mars is strong on Tuesday, so then it's dangerous to have blood come out of you. Yeah, question, Simon.
Isn't astrology Avodah Zarah?
No. Simon is asking, isn't astrology Avodah Zarah? No, Avodah Zarah is to worship something. They believed that it was science, that based on where the stars were, that was causing different, you know, flows in this world. The Gemara now says, if that's the case, Mali Shabsanaimi. So on Friday also people shouldn't be doing bloodletting because Kaima Bezavi, because Mars is also in an even hour. It's in the eighth hour. Answer the Gemara, very important principle for nowadays as well. Scientifically, to give blood or to lose blood on Friday should be dangerous. But came in the Dashu Bei Rabbi. People ignore that. Everybody does it. If everybody ignores what is a danger, Shomer Psayim Hashem. Hashem protects the fools, and then it's no longer a danger. And that's a big issue, this whole issue of Corona. Initially, the reason why certain rabbis didn't close down is that they said, well, if the chances of a bad result are only 0.5%, or it was unclear what the chances were of a bad result, maybe 10% or 5%, they said, you know, if we don't treat it as a danger, we'll have this Gemara of Shomer Psayim Hashem. Hashem protects the fools. The same way rabbis don't say nobody should drive a car because maybe a car will hit somebody. We say, Shomer Psayim Hashem. People have assumed a certain amount of danger. So when people accept this danger and they're all fools, Hashem protects the fools. All right, Amar Shmuel said, now we're talking about different dates when it's not so good to have bloodletting. A Wednesday through Dalid, which is number one, the fourth day of the week. Or Arba, the fourth day of the week, Arba do Arbesar, the fourth day of the week, which is also the 14th day of the month. Arba do Esrim Arba, the fourth day of the week, which is also the 24th day of the month. Arba do Lek Arba Basrei, the fourth day of the week when you don't have another 4 days in the month left. Sakanta, it's a danger to bloodlet on those days. Rosh Chodesh, on the first day of the month. Sheni Lo, the second day of the month. Cholsha, if you let out blood, you're going to be weak. Shlishi Lo, the third day of the month. Sakanta, it's a danger. Mal Yom HaTava, to let out blood on an Erev Yom Tov. chulsha causes weakness. Mali yom ha'atzar to erev shavuos, sakata creates danger. Those are rabbanu kuli mali yom ha'tzav mishum yom tov ha'atzar. Sages said, don't let out blood on any erev yom tov because of erev yom tov of shavuos. Why? What's on erev yom tov of shavuos? Nothing being zikush mei tavoach. There's a wind that comes out on that day, which is named the slaughterer. Why was there such a wind? Elo kibul Yisrael Torah. Had the Jews not accepted the Torah on that day, Havatavach Lib Yisrael Tamayah would have killed them, their flesh and their blood. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel used to say, Achal Chita, if a person ate bread, Hikiz Dam, and then he let out blood, Lo Hikiz Ela Lo Osa Chita. Then he only got out the weight of that bread. Hani Mili Refuah, that's when he's trying to heal himself. Amal Ukli, but if he's just trying to lighten himself up, Mekel, it will lighten himself up if he lets out blood after eating bread. Hamekiz Dam, if a person lets out blood, Shtiyola Alter, he should drink right away. Achila, but eating at Chatzi Mili, he should wait until he can walk half a kilometer. Now there's wait 10 minutes and then eat. He barely had a question. Shtiyola Alter Mali Avol Basar Achi Kashi. Drinking right away is good, but drinking later is bad. Odomar, maybe no kashi b'lamali. It's not bad, nor is it good. Take it, we're not sure. He brought a question. Achila chatzi milu d'mali. Only if you eat after 10 minutes, that's when it's good. Habasar achi mekami achi kashi. But if you eat before 10 minutes or you eat after 20 minutes, it's bad. Odomar, lo kashi b'lamali. Or if you do it at another time, it just is not effective. Take it, we don't know. Machas Rav used to say, talking about health, Meyokari, even if they're selling 100, if they're selling the butternut squash very cheap, only buy it if they're selling it for 100 for a zuz, because it's really not healthy. Maya Reishi, if they're selling heads of animals, 100, only if they're selling 100 for a zuz, buy it. Maya Sfami, if they're selling the lips of the animals, don't eat it at all, because it doesn't help you at all. Below club. Doesn't matter how cheap they're giving it, don't buy the lips of animals. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Stael said, now I understand people's language. Kavina Be Rav Huna, when I was in the house of in the yeshiva Rav Huna, Yom the Mufagin Be Rabbanan, there was a day that the rabbis were coming late. Amr used to say, today's a day of lips. I didn't understand what they were saying. The answer is, if the students don't come, then it's a wasted day. It's like eating lips, which is a waste. The Mishnah said that when a woman gives birth, Koshinet Tabur, they tie the umbilical cord. Tana Rabbanan Lutana Braisa. Koshinet Tabur, we tie the umbilical cord. The B'yos Yomei Avchotchen, you can even cut the umbilical cord. Tom Shil Yekadesh Yecham. They also put the placenta into something which is warming it, so that it'll be warmed, and then they can warm the baby with it. Kadesh Yecham Avlad. The daughters of the kings, they'll put the placenta into pitchers of oil. The daughters of the rich, in, you know, tufts of wool, and the poor girls in mochin, in rags. That we cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos. Everybody agrees on the umbilical cord of twins. Shechotim, you can cut it on Shabbos. My time, they pull apart from each other, and it's dangerous. Whatever is said in Yechezkel about how God took us, even though we weren't so deserving, and the image is about a baby who wasn't taken care of when he was first born, that's what we have to do on Shabbos. What does it say there? You were born on a day when you were born, the umbilical cord wasn't cut, you weren't washed with water to become smooth, and you weren't salted to have your muscle become tougher, and you weren't wrapped to have your limbs put in back in place. From here we learn that when a baby is being born, you do help him being born on Shabbos. You do cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos. We can wash a baby on Shabbos to smooth him out. You can even put salt on a baby on Shabbos to toughen the muscles. You're allowed to put the limbs of a baby back in place on Shabbos to have a full childbirth.